Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen. Amen.
His name is Noah Dyer. He received his bachelor's degree in psychology and his master's degree in business administration, both from Arizona State University. And he now serves as the Vice President of Marketing Strategies at a Phoenix ad agency. He is an Eagle Scout, enjoys sports, is an avid reader, and is the father of four children. And he's currently running for governor in Arizona. Now, people run for governor all the time, and I don't know if Noah will do a better job at this than anybody else. That's up for the voters in Arizona to decide come November. But the thing that's caught people's attention about it is that during his campaign, he has been incredibly transparent about his personal life. On his campaign's website, for example, there's even a section called New Heights in Transparency. And the very first part of the page says this: "This disclosure was made voluntarily by Noah at the start of his campaign and has been on this site since he officially launched in February 2017. It was not the result of a media discovery or similar event." So whether he's right or wrong, Dyer thinks that private matters should not get in the way of being able to lead the state. And so right there on his website, he talks about a few supposedly taboo topics just to get them out in the open. For example, his first category is sex. He admits that he has had, quote, "deep and casual sexual experiences with all kinds of women, including group sex and sex with married women." The next category is finances. He admits that he has a negative self-worth, has over $100,000 in student loans, and during the recession, he used cash advances to pay his child support. In the section on religion, he says that people should be able to believe whatever they want, and that whenever those beliefs have political or legal implications, they should be debated on their own merits. And then there's also a section about his family life. In it, he says that he's divorced, shares custody of his kids with his ex-wife, and sometimes has minor feuds with his family members. Now, when Dyer first suggested to his campaign advisors that he reveal all of this personal information so openly, they were, quote, "universally against the idea," he said. "They were worried that I'd be branded as a sexaholic and we wouldn't be able to talk about the issues. But that's not the response we've got. People admire the courage." Now, in a world where many other politicians try to hide things, we can understand why Dyer's advisors weren't so happy about this. We're not used to people being that open from the very beginning, if at all. And in a way, we don't like it. And it makes us a little uncomfortable. I mean, imagine that you're on a first date with someone, and they suddenly tell you all of this personal information right from the beginning. It would be too much too fast, wouldn't it? Some people might even be turned off by Dyer's transparency, and that's completely understandable. Others, though, might find it refreshingly honest from a politician. They like that he doesn't have anything to hide. Now, however you feel about him exposing himself like that, I doubt that many of us would do the same thing. Like, I imagine that there are probably only a select few people in your life, if any, who know that kind of intimate information about you. Right? Even though our culture talks a lot about sex and money and religion and politics and family problems, it's usually all in generalities. We don't often reveal the specifics of our lives to others because that's personal information. And I think we're reluctant to reveal that information for two reasons. One, we don't want people to get that close to us. And two, we wonder how they'll react if we tell them. Perhaps they won't think well of us. Perhaps they'll judge us. Perhaps they'll lose respect for us. And so we keep certain things hidden and tucked away because we want to have a good image. We want people to see us in a good light. But even if we try to hide all of this information from other people, Jesus still knows. He knows those parts of us that we don't often show to others. He knows those things that could change the way people see us. He knows those things that we think are embarrassing or private or secret. And on this Maundy Thursday, as we remember Jesus' last night with his disciples, we remember how he saw the parts of them that they wanted to hide. In a literal sense, it was their feet. But in a metaphorical sense, it was all of those dark and hidden places of their lives. I think about the scene again. Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was tied around them. Now, sure, there was the practical issue of getting your feet washed after walking around those dirty roads, but servants usually did that job. It was not something for Jesus, of all people, to be doing. But he did it. And as he washed their feet, he saw their dirty side. They were exposed and vulnerable and transparent, whether they wanted to be or not. And when Jesus came to Peter, I can imagine Peter kind of tucking his feet up underneath him. Peter says that Jesus, quote, will never wash my feet. Peter did not want to expose that dirty side of himself to Jesus. And we can understand that. Because I bet there are parts of our lives that we don't want Jesus to see either. Maybe it's our sexual history, or our finances, or our views on politics, or our broken relationships, or whatever it might be. Sometimes we don't want Jesus to see those parts of us because we don't want him to get that close. And because we think it'll change how he sees us. We would prefer that Jesus see us as just nice, clean people. We want him to know about our education and where we work and what our hobbies are. We don't want him to see the broken, messed up side of us. And so we understand Peter's reluctance. But then Jesus says, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Jesus has to see those parts. And so Peter, who obviously loved Jesus, quickly changes his mind and wants Jesus to wash all of him. It's kind of like he's thinking, sure, Jesus, go ahead and wash those parts that are already clean too. you'll see how good of a person I really am. Yes, there are some dirty parts, but the majority of me is pretty clean. That has to count for something, right? Here, I'll show you. But Jesus basically tells him that's not how it works. Jesus needs to wash the dirty parts. That's his focus. And so he does. For Peter, for all of the disciples, and for you and me. At our midweek services this Lent, we've been thinking about how water and the Word create new life for us in baptism. Clearly, those baptismal waters do wash us clean. But then, of course, we are still sinful people, just like Peter and the other disciples were. Peter would still deny Jesus later that night. Judas would still betray him. And everybody else would still run away. And yet Jesus still washed them. He showed all of them that even when he sees the parts they try to hide, he still loves them. And he still loves you. But, of course, he didn't just leave it at that. When he was done, he put his robe back on, took his seat, and said that they are to follow his example. "I give you a new commandment," he said, "that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So yes, Jesus knew that his disciples were not perfect, both before and after this washing, but he washed them anyway. And he called them, and he called us, to wash each other too. Now, some congregations will literally do that tonight. They will have a foot washing. And even though we won't do that tonight, the call to serve others is still there. All right, for example, just a moment ago, we had the individual word of forgiveness. And that washes us clean. And now we are sent out to share that same forgiveness with others. Just as Jesus served us, just as he humbled himself, just as he showed his disciples love when they were vulnerable, so we are called to do the same. Not only tonight, but throughout our lives. Jesus made himself vulnerable as a servant in order to show love to others who were also vulnerable. And maybe that's why Noah Dyer revealed all that personal information. Maybe he's trying to be vulnerable to show people he's there to serve others who are vulnerable. I don't know. And I don't know what the people of Arizona will think about it on Election Day. But I do know that, like him, all of our secrets are exposed. If not publicly online, then at least to Jesus. And Jesus washes us clean. And then he sends us out to love others just as he has loved us. And if people like us can love others, if we can serve them, if we can wash them too, then this world will certainly be a better place. Jesus is the kind of leader we follow, leaving wet footprints behind us as we go. And so, in the name of the one who makes us clean, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.